Well, welcome everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. Hi, Mom and Dad, back home in New Brunswick. Hope you're doing well, and I hope the weather turns out well over the next few days. I'm actually praying for some rain. Having top dressed and having looked at the state of my lawn, don't drive by if you know where I live, and please don't take any pictures. Yes, if bylaw gave tickets for bad-looking lawns, I would have a few of those. Thank you, choir. It's been a real privilege to be here today. It's been a blessing, and I know how much work goes in to putting on just one service. And to be able to do that much music and to do it so well together. I'm also going to commend the fellas. The fellas are outnumbering the gals. And way to go. That's good. A challenge to you ladies out there. You'd probably take a couple ladies if they were to come and want to, yeah, for sure. I was certainly appreciative of everyone. Thank you. The ladies sounded fantastic, by the way. And I'm certainly appreciating the music that that you all gave and offered to us and to the Lord today. Thank you for that. Well, it's playoff time. And, of course, my team didn't make it again. We just won't talk about that. But it's playoff time, and of course there are winners and there are losers, and there's certainly teammates that go through the highs and lows together. And so I just want to share a little story that comes from the spring of 1973. I would have been all of a few months old at the time, so I actually don't remember this personally, but I guess I was bouncing on somebody's lap when this would have occurred. Well, in the spring of 1973, the Boston Bruins were knocked out of the Stanley Cup playoffs by the New York Rangers. During the series, Bruins star Phil Esposito was nailed by a Ron Harris check, which actually sent the star Esposito to the hospital. So he was taken to the Boston Hospital, where doctors diagnosed torn knee ligaments. The star centerman's leg was completely encased in a cast to protect the knee from further injury. Well, when the Boston players decided to hold a postseason farewell party, one of them suggested that the affair, you know, it just wouldn't be the same without Espo, our team leader. And the others agreed wholeheartedly, well, yeah, I mean, Phil's got to be here. Well, the NHL scoring champ had to be present, even if he only made a token appearance. So they went to the hospital to get him. While two of the Boston Bruins, which have remained nameless to this day, posed as security guards, successfully distracted hospital personnel, while several other players stealthily wheeled Phil Esposito, still in his hospital bed, along a corridor, down an elevator, and through a side exit out of the hospital. Now, unfortunately, because this was all hush-hush and in quite haste, during their departure, they broke a metal railing in the hospital facility. Now, the bed and its famous occupant flew down the avenue while car horns honked and pedestrians gawked, wondering what in the world was going on. The Boston Bruins, led by Wayne Cashman and Bobby Orr, wheeled their leader to the restaurant, which wasn't very far, just a few blocks from the hospital. At one busy corner, Bobby Orr yelled, "Signal left, Phil!" and Esposito shot out his arm from under the sheets. After the party, Phil Esposito was wheeled back to the hospital. Well, to say the least, the hospital staff were none too amused that the team had kidnapped their star and their famous patient. The Bruins were not only chastised for their behavior, they were presented with a bill, charging them $400 for damage to the building that had happened during the escape. Well, they dealt with the bill in a very predictable manner. While Phil Esposito slept, a couple of his teammates slipped the invoice under his pillow. We all have a bill we can't pay. Naaman is no different. Naaman has a bill that he cannot pay. All the money and clothing in the world cannot pay for what Naaman needs. See, leprosy was a death sentence. It was literally death by inches. Right? A finger here, the end of a nose over there, fingers and toes, ears and nose. Now, this is no children's song or nursery rhyme. For the person with leprosy, the outlook is bleak. The prospects of a cure are slim to none. And the years of rejection and isolation will be devastating. What begins with white blotches of skin and numbness to the extremities over time will be replaced with disfigurement, decay, and eventual death. This is a death sentence for Naaman. I find it quite perplexing that Naaman, this mighty hero, this stately figure, well, the name Naaman actually means one who is pleasant or nice, a gracious one. So Naaman, literally, he's the embodiment of the nice guy. He's a nice guy. Now, as Pastor Bob has already stated last week, despite all the things that Naaman had going for him, captain of the guard, a mighty warrior, victorious, virtuous, respected, revered, the king's right-hand man, even though he was the poster boy for the nice guy, to quote Leo Durocher, the infamous manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, "Nice guys finish last." Well, Naaman was well on his way to the bottom of the game of life. Leprosy was going to be his downfall. Isn't that true with us? You know, leaving aside the physical aspects of leprosy and looking at it spiritually and biblically, the way that Jesus compares it with sin, that is true about us. Spiritually speaking, we all have spiritual leprosy. Leprosy is a picture of sin in the scriptures. It's irrefutable. See, sin we are born with. We're born in sin. We're helpless to do anything about it on our own. Romans describes this to us very well. For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinful. We're all separated from God. We need to be healed. We need to be changed. We need to be saved. We also know, reading in Scripture, that the wages of sin is death. But But if we continue on, we also know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there's a couple of things that I really want us to see in this passage, and it pertains to grace. See, you have to love the grace that we find embedded in the account. And you have to love the grace we see actively engaging in this account of Naaman's salvation story. And I believe that it is in each and every one of our salvation stories. First, we have the little girl. And we talked about her. Bob did a great job of talking about her last week. We won't belabor talking more about her. And actually, we really don't know a whole lot about her. We know she's Jewish. We know she works in the house of Naaman. And she seems to have a place which affords her the ability to speak into the ear of Naaman's wife. Ma'am, there is a prophet of God in Israel. His name is Elisha. And he can help my master. Now, imagine what would happen to that little girl if that were not true. Send him on a wild goose chase to some faraway place to do some faraway thing that has some far-fetched chance of ever doing something that was actually out of his reach to begin with. Imagine what would happen to her if this were not true. But it is true. And she knows it to be true. How does she know that Elisha can heal Naaman? How does she know that? Well, because she has experienced it in her own life. That's how she knows it. How do I know that Jesus saves? Because I've seen it happen again and again and again and again and again. When you talk to someone who is given over to addictions of any sort, and they've been miraculously transformed, and you ask them, and they say, oh, that was the day that I went to that place and I heard about Jesus. That was the day I had coffee with someone who invited me, and they told me about how Jesus had changed their life. And that he could change my life. And that's how I know it to be true. Because I've seen it happen again and again and again and again. And the same is true for this little girl. She knows that Elisha can save this man's life. Because he is the mouthpiece of God. And he will speak the words of truth to Naaman. You see, good guys don't have to finish last. The 64 San Francisco Giants did. And Coach DeRocher was right about them. He said, look at them. They're all nice guys. Their coach, he's a super nice guy. But nice guys finish last. Well, that might be true about baseball, but that's not true with Jesus. You see, God has embedded grace into the story, first through the little girl, and secondly through the act of grace displayed through the two friends and how they speak and treat Naaman. See, Naaman is not sure because it's not turning out the way that he had envisioned it to. Maybe your life is that way. Maybe you're in a situation where you can't imagine looking back that this is where you would find yourself today. Well, truth be told, you're not in control of your life. God has your life in his very hand. And you're here today because God wants you to be here. Naaman is not sure. His life has not turned out the way he had thought it would. Shouldn't the king or this prophet healer, shouldn't they have said some words of enchantment or given me some potion or ointment to rub on my body or to ingest within me? Shouldn't I have an opportunity to appease whatever God they serve with my payment of offerings so that in turn this God might heal me? Really? The prophet Elisha wants me to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. This silty, dirty little river that looks more like refuse than a river. Why can't I wash in my own beautiful, clean rivers back home? We do this, don't we? We try to bargain with God. We rationalize and we moralize how we're going to clean ourselves up nice so that we can be presentable to God. But that's not grace. That's actually a very pervasive, ugly thing called legalism. That's another God. That's an idol that we worship sometimes. You see, grace is a gift that you and I don't deserve. If we deserved it, then it wouldn't be called grace, now would it? Notice what his colleagues say to him. Master, if he had asked you to do something very difficult, would you not have done it? Well, you know I would. So, this is actually very simple. And we could go and do it right now, immediately. I mean, we are here after all. Well, if it's a good idea today for Naaman, it's still going to be a good idea tomorrow. You see, with the little girl, we have embedded grace. God has inserted her into the story of Naaman's redemption. God had already been preparing to draw Naaman to himself, and he used this little girl to do so. Isn't that wonderful? And now we see these two men, and they are actively engaging with grace. See, Naaman is being helped with gentleness. He's being helped with love and respect. He's being helped to see what the devil would love for him to miss completely. These two individuals, they are leading with grace. They are walking into the mess with grace. See, Naaman doesn't want to proceed because the prophet didn't personally engage with him and perform some rite or ritual. And he doesn't want to wash in the Jordan, which he feels is inferior and dirty. And they are gentle. They are calm. And they simply help Naaman to see the door of invitation. If I were in your shoes, Naaman, I would do it. After all, what can you lose? I mean, really nothing. What will you gain? Perhaps everything. And so in the narrative, we read that Naaman trusts in the words of Elisha. Now, Elisha's the prophet. He is the mouthpiece of God. So Naaman is trusting the words of God. So he dunks 7 times. Belly flop, cannonball, double somersault with a twist. We don't read how he does it because that's not the important thing. The importance is that he believed God and took God at his word. 7 times he dunks, and on the 7th time, he found rest for his soul. Okay, so a couple things we need to see in this powerful text. The number 7 is not by chance. See, that's God's number, by the way. It's the number of heaven. It's God's perfect number. So we're seeing here definitely that what is happening here is this is God's. This is God's doing. This is for God. This is because of God. This is about God. Everything in it points to God. If we look back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, I believe, we actually see that this is the number used to ritually declare a leper cleansed according to the book of Leviticus. When someone was healed of leprosy, they were to go to a priest at the tabernacle, and through a 7-fold liturgical ritual for cleansing of guilt and forgiveness, the priest who would actually enter into the sacrificial offerings and part of the offerings would be placed on his ear and on his hands. They would offer an intercessory offering to declare the individual healed and restored, cleansed of guilt and forgiveness that the priest would offer through intercessory offerings, which would in turn restore the individual to their community. So Naaman, when he comes up over the water on that 7th and final time, discovers that he has the skin of a little boy. Wow. Boys, oh boys, I could go for that. That would be great. And the nice guy does not finish last. There is no $400 bill for damage under his pillow anymore. The debt has been paid in full. There is no need for a hospital because he has been healed. Now, there is something more, however, in the story, because we see that it's just not Naaman's skin that has been healed. We read that his heart and his mind, they have been changed as well. Naaman has come to know God personally. And we know this from what he says in the text. He no longer wants to pay for services promised, but he would rather generously give out of devotion to the true and living God. Now, notice what Elisha says to really stick the point, to show the grace of God. He says, no. You can't pay anything. He says, just go in peace. That's God's gracious offer to us today. God is offering peace to all who come to him. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, not of gold or silver or fine clothes, so that no one can boast. That last little part I added, by the way. This offer of salvation is for all who may come. See, we all have to be cleansed of the spiritual leprosy we all have. And Jesus offers healing. He offers forgiveness. He offers salvation. We just simply need to take the plunge and ask Him to forgive and save us. Perhaps you're here today and you would like to ask God about what to do with your life. Perhaps you've come to a point in your life where you realize that I've actually not done with it. I've actually not dealt with that, and I would like to deal with that today. Well, we would love to pray with you about that. If you'd like to receive Jesus today, we would love to pray with you. Pastor Bob, myself, perhaps it's a person you came with and they've been praying for you. We would love for you to take that opportunity and take that plunge today. Well, there's also something else I would like to pray about. I think that God is calling each and every one of us to both be embedded grace and to be actively engaging with grace. And whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your home, whether it's here in this church, or if it's in the greater community around us, we all can be embedded grace and engaging grace with others. So I would just love to have a little prayer as we close. And I would love for you to ask God, God, show me where I can be embedded grace. God, show me where I can actively engage in grace, and I can lead with grace, and I can join you in that wonderful work of the spiritual healing of others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for Naaman. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you healed him just so miraculously, so wonderfully. Lord, we spend so much money, eyes done, nose done, tummy tucks, facelifts, the whole bit. And Lord, we read as Naaman just simply put his trust and faith in you. He came up out of the world, out of the water, and he was a new man. And Lord, that nice guy that was well on his way to finishing last, he comes to the front with Jesus. Father, I just ask and pray if there's anyone here today, Lord, and they would love to begin that journey with you. Lord, that they would just simply take that plunge, that they would ask Jesus into their heart and ask for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill them to overflowing even now. And Lord, that they would come to the realization, because you have said so, that Lord, they can be a brand new person. And Father, for us today, we pray and ask, Lord, as we continue our journey with Jesus Christ, Lord, would you help us to understand those situations that you have embedded us as grace, whether it's in our families, in our community, Lord, in our workplace. And Lord, also open our eyes to those moments where we can lead with grace, that we can show the love of Christ, that, Lord, we can share the story of how Jesus changed us in ways, Lord, that are gentle and kind and point to the transformational work of redemption through Christ. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the amazing way it changes us. Lord, watch over us. guide us and direct us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the words of Jesus who said, the first will be last and the last will be first. Thank you, Father, that Jesus became even lower and lower and lower as he descended even to the cross. And you lifted him up. And Lord, he provided a way of salvation for us. Father, thank you for Naaman. Thank you, Lord, that even Jesus could mention Naaman as he shared the kingdom of God with others. Lord, thank you for healing us. Thank you for giving us a brand new start. Lord, we sing and we celebrate today the newness of life in Christ. Thank you for your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.